speaker meeting. I've asked Jamie to come up and introduce tonight's speaker.
Hey, all, I'm Jamie. I'm a heroin and cocaine addict. I'm super excited that you guys get to listen to Lindsay tonight. I have the honor of walking hand in hand with this woman. I've known her. I was just thinking about it. It's almost been 10 years since I first met you. And I fell in love with her upon first sight. Hopefully the whole room doesn't do that tonight, or else I'm in a lot of trouble. But I got to listen to her within the first couple of years of my sobriety, and she is quite a powerful woman. Her description of alcoholism, of alcoholic torture, of what it's like to absolutely hit rock bottom and then to have the experience of being surrendered and coming to know God is, and I don't know that it's really any different from anybody else. It's the way that she's able to speak to it that's so powerful. I just remember I would hear her and my jaw would drop because I had never heard anyone speak to it that well. And I knew that I related. And every time, I've introduced her plenty of times. I try and be there every single time she speaks. Sometimes she won't even tell me when she's speaking because she knows that I'll come. But every single time there's something that she's able to transmit to a room of alcoholics and addicts that I just believe is very rare. She just describes it really, really well. It's just been an absolute honor to know her, and then to sneak a date her, and then to date her, and then to be engaged to her. She's absolutely a light. And she's able to transmit that very powerfully. So I'm super excited to hear what she's got to say tonight. And I'm really grateful that she's here and she's talking. So listen. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, all, I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic. I first want to thank the group, which I just realized the name of the group is right there. And is that the name of the group, right? Yeah. Typically, I've known Tarek. Tarek, thank you for calling and asking me, but I've known him for a long time. And when I've spoke at, he used to do this study, and it was called The Wall. So I just assumed, I didn't know, I actually never really connected what was going on here, because typically when he's like, oh, it's the wall, and I'd be like, oh gosh, I'm gonna speak in front of 30 people who had to sit for 10 hours listening to Tarek and Brandon speak, and it was always really great, but I'd always kind of feel for the certain individuals who'd be in the room, so just listen to a long book study. They probably didn't want to be there. Sober Living made them, and they just were praying for hopefully not a drink, but maybe just to transform into a cigarette or something, and you're new and you're just what is happening? I've just sat, listened to all this, and I don't know what's happening. So I'd get up and get ready to speak, and I'd be okay, there's four people who are with me. Okay. So I'm excited to be here because there's in the audience. Thank you all for being here, and for, it's more than four, so that's really nice. Tarek, really honestly, thank you for asking me to do this. He asked me, I said, of course. I put it in my calendar. I totally forgot about it. Didn't think about it once until he reminded me. It was you still coming? I was yep, gonna be there. I'm coming, I'm gonna be there. And so I'm really curious, because I have no idea what's really gonna happen. I haven't really thought about anything I'll say, but there are a lot of people who showed up here tonight. There's that mean a whole lot to me. And so I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to see them and the new friends that I've already been able to make. So I guess we'll kind of get started on whatever is going to unfold. And I want to also thank Jamie for that nice introduction, because that was a lot nicer and than I think I necessarily deserve. But typically when I start and I get asked to speak, I read something that helps me just kind of, I've been doing it for so long, it just helps me kind of get here. And we had that 4-minute meditation, so that was nice too, but, you know, I don't even know what happened in that 4 minutes. Like, I don't know, those 4 minutes was gone. So, what am I going to read this? Swear I know this big book a little bit. All right. So, my sobriety date is April 23rd, 2007, and I don't look great for my age. And people always think I'm in my 20s. I'm not. And it's okay. I don't know if I like that or not yet. I haven't decided. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And so it's a long time ago, I was working steps with this guy, and he pointed this out to me. And ever since he said it, it has stuck for probably 10 years. So it's in 58, because there's a few different parts in the big book that will kind of indicate to someone that's been, that has the opportunity to share their experience with alcohol, drugs, and their experience with the steps and the relationship with God and all that. There's a few different points that kind of indicate how you can do that. This is just one of a few. And it says, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. So I just misread this so many times, and so I always read this. In general, we describe what we used to be like, so hopefully I can transmit or describe or communicate to you guys what I used to be like, so that would be the state of being or the state of consciousness into which I could not differentiate the true from the false, into which I was powerless over my relationship with alcohol, mind-altering substances, what happened, and hopefully what I'm like now is like slightly inspiring, even though I've had quite a few rough. This year has been a very interesting, difficult, painful, joyous, connective, just a mess. It's been a mess, okay? But a good one, not a bad one, because typically I will associate that with unpleasant. But I'm sure there's many people in this room who some of the most unpleasant or painful experiences actually turned out to be pretty incredible. So we'll see where this takes us. But I think it's really good to start at the beginning where it's important, which is what in the heck my experience was with alcohol, which, you know, without telling, I mean, that's, I think, the trippiest thing, one of the most bizarre things about alcoholism, you know, and my relationship with alcohol, or even your relationship with alcohol, is that makes no sense. You know, it just doesn't. But it makes all the sense in the world. So I'll start with, like, I don't, of course, like, yeah, first time I drank, I was in middle school, and that's cute and all. Nothing happened, you know, I mean, whatever. But the first time, you know, I am one of those. Not everyone, that's another thing. I can share some things about my experience with alcohol and drugs, and you might identify, that's great, and you might not, that's great. It's okay, you know, because really what I hope to be able to convey is like that my experience, it's not just relating to me and my or whatever. It's hoped like that you'll get with someone to take you through this so you can find it. That would be the, hopefully that's what you get out of it. Not like, oh, I really identified all these points. I'm like, oh, I hope you at least be like, okay, I possibly might be interested in finding out about what my truth is or not from this book with a sponsor. So I was one of those people who the first time that I experienced an effect from alcohol, I was one of those where it was like, holy crap. I remember everything about it. Still to this day, I remember where I was, who I was with, what car I was in, the douchebag that was driving. I remember all of it. There's nothing I don't remember about it. Which is a pretty profound thing. I don't know if there's people in here, I guarantee you, that do remember that. The first time they drank, the first time they smoked crack, the first time they shot, whatever it is, right? Whatever did that for you, that thing, you probably remember it, the impact that it had. And it's a pretty impactful thing because individuals that don't have that, right, it ain't that deep. You know what I mean? And I use this example a lot, but like my sister, we're only a year apart. And when she talks about really impactful, like, experience, I mean, they're like her getting married or like having a baby, like graduating college. I mean, these are big things. When you talk about her first time drinking or getting high, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it was fine. I got sick with my girlfriends and, you know, and I'm like, whoa, dude, like my whole life done changed like that. You know, I really did. And why that happened or why it does that for me is so important. When I got sober, this guy who's still probably one of the influential people in my life told me, if you continue to focus on what alcohol does to you, you're going to die drunk. So I would highly suggest you start investigating what it does for you. So what is that? So, of course, the first time I drank, yeah, I was one of those that had the freaking clouds part, and I'm going to do this every day. I don't know if it was like that, but I knew that I was about that. It was a vibe. You know, I experienced something that I never experienced before, and I was like, that was tight. And I did. I was one of those that went hard pretty fast. And the consequences didn't really show up for me for a while, and I'm going to fast forward all the way until I got sober, right? And it's because what happened to me in this point was I had already moved around, and I'll get into this, but what ended up happening was I wrecked a third car and, you know, knew that DUI was coming, you know, and I asked my folks for help. Like, I need some help, and it's actually not about, because I'd asked for help before, you know, over the years when it'd get bad or consequence would happen. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I really need some help. But then really rapidly for someone like me, it's like, okay, I need help, but I need it like this. And it's not that intense, and suddenly it's not about my drinking. It's actually about my depression. It's actually about my anxiety. It's really not, these things aren't really correlated anymore. And I did that for a while. But this time I knew it. For whatever reason, every cell fiber being in my body knew that if I drank again, I was going to die. Because I'll go into those experiences of me trying to start and stop and some of those consequences. But there I was to get sober. But the thing was, is I had no idea. All I knew was that at that time, is I knew I had a really bad problem with drinking and using drugs. Like, that was a really bad problem. And I knew that if I didn't get some real help, that I was going to die. Like, it was just done. And so I took it very seriously. I was one of those very desperate ones, you know, all of that. But even this, so this is what's crazy, right? I am the variety of very desperate. I'll do anything, right? And here I am sitting in front. My parents are like, oh, God, yes, thank you. Been waiting for this day, because they cut me off when I was 18. They're like, whoa, that's kind of wild. You got to go with that whole thing. So they were like, finally she asked for help. Like, real help. And I'm sitting inside of this, like, treatment center person, and they're like, hey, you need some help. We think you need to go to this outpatient and this little sober living. I was like, God, I get that. But you see, I can't do that because I have a job. I have friends and family. And, you know, my stuff's here. And I'm in school. The craziest thing, y'all, is that I gotten fired from my job. I had been to 1.5 classes in a semester. And the fact that I even threw out friends and family is fascinating. The fact that I was like, my friends and family are here. My friends and family are like, you need to go. Like a whole ass mistake. Like a whole thing, right? But that's y'all, that's what I suffer from. Right there. See that delusion? Illusion. All right, that's kind of crazy, right? That in that moment, I was dead serious. I'm like, okay, thank you for all, you know, so how can we go work it out to where I'm going to do this how I want to do it? And the fact that I really did believe, I mean, truly was like, no, man, I've got like things going on. I just got out of the hospital. I just detoxed. I got things going on. You know, I'm desperate. I'm dying. I need all the help you can give me. But not like that, not like this, and I got all this going on, so I got, see, that's a problem. That's like, way more of a problem than even the amounts of that I drank and used. I mean, that's scary. So kind of back into this alcoholism thing. So just in getting a snapshot of what's really scary. Because, yeah, most people that I meet or I've sponsored, I mean, we don't even need to get into the blackouts and, you know, all the, whether it's an overdose or a blackout or the wrecks or the rest, all that drama. I mean, it's important and we're going to talk about it. But what is really vital for someone like me to see is that even in my desperation, I can still not see it. I can still completely be like, oh, this can be great over here. And so fortunately, this treatment center person was really great because he was like, I understand that. And just kind of walked me through it. Would you consider that, like, you know, if you don't get well, maybe you won't, like, you won't keep your job because, you know, I don't know if you have it. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. You know, he kind of like walked me through that. And I was like, okay, well then, yeah, maybe that is a good idea. Once we kind of talked it all out, and that's a miracle. Like that was a miracle, right? That someone took the time to cut through that. And I had, was in a position to even hear anything else, but on my own, that's it. That's all I know. Like I've got to figure this out. So what I didn't understand either is that I got sober and I'm meeting all these people and had no idea for me why it was that when alcohol went into my body, I one thing I was clear on that you didn't have to convince me of was a physical allergy. Once it went in, no control, right? I was kind of like, yeah, check on that one. Because it finally, for me, there's this part in the book where it says, hold up, it's in the doctor's opinion. It says, it explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account, the allergy. It explained all the things which I had no explanation for, right? That means that once alcohol went into my body, it's kind of like that school thing, right? So, or a family reunion, you know, like I didn't go to a few of them. I wasn't invited to a few of them. And so when I was, I moved away for a few years. I lived in West Virginia. It was dark. And, but when I moved, they were like, you can come. I was like, great. So no one, and this is, y'all, some people, and this is just my experience. I was definitely in those last 5 years or so, I was not that person that every time I was drinking, I was going to get, I wasn't. Like, I just wasn't. Like, I'm sorry. Of course I would get like that. But honestly, for my, how my relationship with alcohol, that was done. That was like that was a 2000 thing. That was a while ago, right? I genuinely didn't want to do that. I tried very, very hard to not lose control because I don't become that chick. I become like that chick, you know, because I never know what's going to happen. So the allergy totally checked out for me because it made sense why everything in me, when I'm invited to a family reunion, no one's trying to get like make an ass themselves in front of their family. It's weird. You know, you're trying to try to be like a regular person. You know what I mean? Like just somewhat regular. And I remember, God, nothing in me. And when my family the next day, because once I started, my sister was like, oh, we'll have like a lemon drop. I was like, that's so cute. Yeah, we're going to have a lemon drop. What? I didn't even know what it was. I just drank whiskey. You know, she's been living a normal life. I'm just over here in some holler in West Virginia, not normal life. And so she's like, we'll have a lemon drop. I was like, yeah. And so I'm just being all cute, trying to play normal, you know what I mean? And it lights went out, per usual, right? But the next day when my family's like, what is wrong with you? Like, are you okay? I'm like, dude, someone roofied me. And that's a real story, y'all. That like really happened. And I really convinced my parents that someone roofied me at a family reunion. Like this is because I couldn't at that time actually reconcile how that happened. Like, why would I do that? I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel like doing that. I didn't want to make an ass of myself. I trashed a hotel room single-handedly. You know, I don't know how I did that. Like, I don't know. It's a mess. I don't remember any of it. Right? And I acted like that was crazy. I was like, oh, I don't remember. I can't believe that happened. I just lived 2 years of that. Right? But I was so deeply ashamed. So terrified, it was horrible, you know? So I got sober, the allergy thing, I'm like, yo, boo, check me off on the box. Because nothing in my experience made any other sense as to why I would continue to drink the amounts and have that kind of experience, right? So I was checked off with that. And then, you know, they're like trying to explain this obsession thing. That's a little trickier, right? Because here I am, you know, I tell the time about the first time I tried to quit drinking. I was like, first time I got caught drinking and driving, I was like, I'm gonna stay on the straight and narrow. Here I am. That lasted 3 months, right? And I remember that too. I remember when I drank again from that one after trying to stay, you know, sober. And, you know, had all the consequences and, you know, the I'm gonna pick it up this time and all the different things that I tried to do, that everybody tries to do to try to get it under control. So when they're explaining it to me, and the guy that's taking me through this book, and he's like, so here's the part about powerless, right? I was like, all right, cool. Once he started to explain alcoholism to me, I don't know if anyone had this experience, but we're going through this book, and I'm like, oh my God, I understand. Like, this is me. I've done this to a hot stove. That's me. I'm just over living on the stove. Like, I got it, right? And I really did. Y'all was hopeful for me until this guy was like, well, the only problem is that you're definitely going to drink again. And I'm over here. I'm like, y'all just, I just totaled this other car. I just got out of the hospital. Got like no day sober. My face is all scraped up, you know. And he's like, so this is the deal. He was like, I know you want it. You know, I know you're desperate and all that. And he was like, but that's the problem is that it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. What your experience has been promises that you're going to drink again. And I'm like, dude, but no, because this time is different. You see that watch? This time is different than every other time because this time I really want it and I'm really desperate. The other times I was desperate and I really wanted it. I wasn't really desperate and I didn't really want it. And I really, y'all, this that's like logical though, right? But this is why alcoholism's tricky because that is logical, but I believed since I wasn't successful, I clearly didn't want it bad enough. As if alcoholism's like not real. Right? And he's trying to challenge me on this. He's like, well, I was like, see, that's why you're wrong. That's why I'm not going to drink again is because this time it's for real. And he was like, that last time that you broke your mama's heart, was that for real? You know? I was like, well, damn. You know, he's like, if it's about choice, I was like, did you choose to tear your life down again? Because your parents gave you another shot and you tore that down again? And your boss gave you a shot, now you don't have that, you know, all this. And that's when it started to click. I was like, oh, man. And that was probably the most, and one of the most impactful things that's ever happened in my life. When he took the time to help point that out to me, and I believed him. When he said the only shot that someone like you has got is to have a relationship with a power greater than yourself, I was like, whoa. I went from like, oh, I feel good. I'm in this book. I'm going to be sober. You know, we're good. To like, oh, I don't know anymore. I don't know. You know, you just took me over here. And now I'm like short circuiting, you know, because I can't figure it out. And it's really a difficult position to be in when like, for me, when I am presented this amount of information about my life when I'm like desperate dying, and then to know that, hey, even though you're desperate and you don't want to drink again, you will. It's like, oh, that's cold. It's cold, you know, it's just cold. But I believed him, y'all. I believed him because I had never, and up until that time, I had never, one, disclosed my experience and relationship with alcohol to an alcoholic. Truthfully, I mean, you know, of course, people saw it, but, you know, for me to sit down with a recovered alcoholic and disclose that stuff that you never say, those thoughts that you have, that, you know, your little tricks and tricks, you know, everybody's got the little things, like the little routine, your little things. I never told anybody about that, you know, and I did, and he shared his experience with me, and I went through this book, I was like, dang, that's me, I'm this, and there's no way else around it. Like, the only shot I have is going through these steps. And so I'm kind of upset about that. And this is a weird thing too. So a little bit after that, I'm in this little, well, it's actually before that, around the same time, I'm in this sober living and I've got maybe three weeks sober, something like that, 4 weeks, a month, a horrible time, whatever, painful time, all of it, whatever. And, you know, and you're in treatment, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, like, how you doing? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good, you know, feeling good. No one's feeling good. Not anybody's feeling good. No one's feeling good. And I'm sure not feeling good. And it's a really bizarre, it was my experience getting sober was really strange because I'm with a bunch of people. I'm grateful to be there genuinely, y'all. I was desperate and dying, okay? It's a delusional alcoholic, but still desperate and dying. These people are nice people. They're good people. Trying to help me. They're the worst, too. Okay, so it's a really strange predicament when you kind of are like, I don't know if I want to, I don't, kill you, kill me, I don't know what's happening. So, but I can't tell anybody, y'all, because I've never done, this is, y'all, I've been literally living in a bottle of alcohol, okay? And then they like spit me out of this bottle of alcohol, and I'm just in a room with this IOP, and it's like, oh, God. Like, on my first AA meeting, I had a full-blown anxiety attack. They shuffled me out. Shuffled me right out. They were like, because, y'all, that was the first group of people that I've been out since detox. And I mean, I was just like, holy crap. You know, I just can't. This is why we'll get to the important part of all this little detail stuff. So there I am in the sober living, you know, this treatment center, this whole thing going on. And, y'all, I could not tell anybody. I didn't know how. I didn't even have language to be like, group, I'm feeling quite uncomfortable. And, like, I'm just like, they're like, Lindsay, how are you feeling today? I'm like, good. Great. Grateful to be sober. I'm grateful to be sober, but I am grateful to be sober. What is that? You know? What is going on? So I started doing this thing that's really weird. At nighttime, in my sober living, I'd sneak out in the middle of the night, and I'd smokes, you know, tons of, all the cigarettes, and I'd get a little cup, and I'd get this little thing of apple juice, and I'd sit by myself, I'd listen to some really depressing music, and I'd drink that apple juice and just pretend it was whiskey, and I did that by myself for a while, and I would just pray to get a, like, I was almost forcing myself to get back there. So I could feel different. So I did not have to be here inside of this with you, with myself. I hated it. But I couldn't have the language to tell someone I'm hurting. I don't even know what it is. Like, that's weird. Like, think about it. If someone came to you and was like, so feeling uncomfortable, drinking apple juice, pretending slicker, what do you think about that? Like, you know, now an alcoholic or someone in recovery is going to be like, don't even worry about that. We're going to help you with that. But I didn't even know. Like, I was so scared of telling y'all because I was scared you're going to think I didn't want it. I was scared you're going to think I was a loser, that I was weird, that I didn't care, that I didn't want to be there, that I didn't want to be sober. And everything in me wants to be sober. Every cell in my body wants to be drunk, too. And it's a cold position. It's cold. So I had no idea what I was suffering from. I had no idea. And I thank goodness I ended up telling this guy who's a real alcoholic, and it kind of led me in that other conversation, because that's right there. I had no idea that when you take alcohol away from me, I actually get worse over time. It's actually a lot darker. At the beginning, it's fine because I can kind of just like mingle a little bit. After the anxiety goes away a little bit, I can just slide in and be like, good to see you. Yeah, we're good. But in here, this thing is not okay. And the creepy thing is when the book talks about restless, irritable, discontent, all that, I think the scarier thing is, you know, I think I'll see it coming. And that when I was new, y'all, do you think I knew that I was restless, irritable, and discontented? No. Y'all, that's all I knew. That state of consciousness is all I've known. And that's why I'm always drinking, because it's highly unpleasant. And that right there is the thing that when I got honest about that finally, which actually I didn't get honest about that till time sober. So I didn't tell anybody in that treatment center that ever. I had to get like way time sober and step work. And then I was like, so by the way, I did this really weird stuff in IOP. When I started to feel comfortable that I could share that and not be a weirdo. But that's the whole thing. What alcohol did for someone like me is when it went into my body, right? It's simple. It woke my spirit up. just enough to be here. That's it. So I could be with y'all. Or me, a little bit. Now, it's dark. If anyone's gotten really dark and some alcoholism or drug addiction, so everyone's like, oh, but it was really bad. I'm like, we ain't talking about the really bad parts. By the time you're done. I'm talking about that initial, or think about the, what it really does, it allows me to be with y'all, right? It allows me to, everything's a little better in my brain and in reality, honestly. If I'm being truthful about some of my experiences drinking, everything's a little better with a buzz. Tell me, washing the dishes is better. You know what I'm saying? Going to CVS is better. Everything's a little better. And I don't know how to be, I don't know how to live with me. So if I, and that's what started to come together over time, was like, oh my God, if I don't have something that wakes my spirit up, it's going to wake up. I can't live drinking apple juice, smoke cigarettes that long. I just can't. So that's what, as I went through the steps, the only result of the steps, in my experience, was a spiritual awakening. My spirit woke up. And I was like, wow, I can actually be with you a little bit more than I could yesterday. Not fully. Still working on it. But I could. It actually woke my spirit up enough to be able to be truthful with you a little bit more than I was yesterday. And it allowed me to somewhat have a connection, somewhat have a relationship with you, which allowed me to continue to evolve in mind with God. They're hand in hand. So my relationship with my Creator is very much just a reflection of my relationship with my friends, fellows, fiance, whatever, all the people in my life. They're going to be like this. If I got some wacky stuff going on with my relationships with folks, trust me, God and I are on some weird shit. Like, we're not on the same page, right? Same thing. God and I are just like, be honest. My relationship with God is just so wild, y'all. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Like, I don't even, it blows my mind that people think I'm a spiritual person, because I'm like, whoa, God and I get into it. We go in, because for it's a personal relationship with my Creator, my conception, right? And for me, what really helps me is like, yo, I have a relationship with my Creator, a real one. It is not a theory. It is messy. It's confusing. I get mad. I get frustrated. I get gracious. I get generous, just like I would with anyone that I'm close with, So my relationship with God might not be yours, but it's really great for me because I really value real shit, just truthfulness. So I relate and communicate, and my Creator and I, we have a real relationship. It ain't no theory. Like, I actually experience that in a real talk, and I actually receive real talk, even when it hurts. So here I am, got this, woke up, spirit woke up as a result of the steps, which, y'all, this is what's really crazy, is that I had no idea that by the grace of power greater than myself, that put me in a position to even be open to all this crap I described to you, right? Would, change the trajectory of my entire life, right? Because that's the deal, is that like the steps in my experience of just allow your spirit to wake up and, remove the obsession to drink. And that's about it. It doesn't have all this other hoopla in there. But I tell you, if I could have, I had no idea, because for me, getting sober was so painful. It was so painful because I had no idea how to communicate. I had no idea how to share. I had no idea how to do anything. And I can tell you without, going too far off the map here, I can tell you what's really been impactful for me. It's what happened, what I'm like now, right? So that's what's happened. And we can get in. You want to know a lot of the mechanics and a bunch of fancy stuff, I'm telling you, you just need to go talk to Tarek. He knows a lot of fancy stuff. And he's a great teacher. He's one of the best teachers in my life. But what I value even more about, we can use Tarek as an example, or Sarah as an example, or Jamie, but is, what a relationship with a power greater than myself has done for me, yes, removing the obsession to drink and keeping me safe and protected for a long time, clearly makes an impact, okay? I mean, of course. But the biggest one is that, you know, there's a design for living, right? So the design for living, it ain't that complicated, you know? It's like a circle and a triangle, you know? You, like, do the meetings, get a sponsor. I rework the steps. I do service work, right? And what that allows me to do is to have, like, real relationships with people, you know, where I can actually be truthful and, like, transparent. Because if there's anything, y'all, I have gotten my butt kicked so many times sober. And honestly, I say this, I'm so dramatic. I'm just like a human. But I act like, oh, my life is, I can't believe that happened. You know, I can't believe they broke up with me, or I can't believe someone died. This is crazy. This happens to people all the time. Okay. But see, I'm an alcoholic, so it hits a little different. Okay. To talk about it. And it is crazy because the fact that I can even experience life and not dump liquor down my throat, because that's the big question, you know, it's like, dude, how are you going to handle the fires? You have nothing to put them out. Ooh, you know, it gets a little spooky. That's why you got to get a god pronto. But for me, what's really, I cannot explain that people that have come into my life have given me the opportunity to be transparent, to ask questions, to be myself. I could call, there's a few people in this room, I could call and say the wildest stuff. So I had a really tough few months a while back. Like, it was, y'all, it really was tough. And I'm really dramatic. So, but it was, let's just say it was really painful. And I got so mad. And I'm pretty disciplined when it comes to 10, 11, and 12. I mean, I've been, 10, been doing so long, it's a working part of the brain, the mind, you know, growing that awareness, so we can talk about that later. 11, been doing that for a long time, and meditating for a long time, and I went from, God, not missing much meditation for a very long time to, this is the longest I've gone without meditating for a period over this year, and it was crazy, you know, but the cool thing was, is that's just where I was. I was so mad. I had so much come up. I had it was a lot. But the cool thing was, I was able to tell everyone I was close with the truth. And I didn't have nothing about it. And they were like, good for you. We love you. We're here. Good for you. You know, and if they really were concerned, that's another thing. They have spiritual consent, so they can tell me, you want some wild stuff, dude. Like, you get a little out there. You reel it back in. You know? And there's nothing that's impacted me more than the relationships and the people that have been put in my life that have given me the opportunity to be myself, to share, to learn, to teach me how to share by sharing themselves, by being open, by continuing to chop wood and carry water, by doing really scary things, by telling me things that I don't want to hear, and by telling me things that I need to hear that I've never heard, which could be simple. I mean, the fact that, like, God, like, someone that just, like, a random person AA, it's like, wow, I'm so proud of you. I'm happy for you. I'm like, why am I crying? You know, I mean, what is happening? And you just don't know. You just don't know. So what I'm like now, right, which is, yo, currently today you caught me on a pretty good day. You know, I've had a pretty good day. I've had a lot of fun. But my life, it's just when this is something I'll read and, you know, kind of wrap it up, is I'll read two things. I really like this because I do a book study for the sober living, and my poor sponsee doesn't have a lot of time. She's never done it on her own. I, like, left her through the wolves tonight. She'd do it by herself. She hated it. But I was going through Bill's story with her, just trying to, like, help her out. But it says, my friend promised me when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. I mean, y'all, that is so heavy. Like, what do you mean that this elements, I'm going to have a new relationship with my creator, and I'm going to have elements of a way of living which will answer all my problems. Like, they didn't say some, half, the drinking problem. It says all the problems. But that's a lot. Because if you're going to ask me and you go back many, many years, I'm like, where the money at, though? You said all the problems. You know, where's the lady? You said all the problems. You know, I mean, all the problems. It's a, if you've never sat with that portion, this little line here, I offer you to do so. I've known for my experience that it's absolutely accurate, even when I don't want it to be. It's annoying, because when I actually wake up that I don't have any problems, then what a humbling experience. That a humbling experience when I wake up that I actually don't have any problems. And the elements of my way of living, and the way of living is very simple. I'm like, very simple. It's practicing the principles, right? But like actually doing that. And, you know, I'm big on helping people. I love to help people. Even when I don't like helping people, I love to help people because we all got it. Because there's, if I look at, this is another thing that's like so crazy. So here I am, you know, spirit wakes up, got time. And the guy that took me through is like, the only thing I ask that you do this with someone else. I mean, clearly the book says that too. They're like, hey, if you want anything out of this. And like the whole point is, that's to me, and Mike's, this is for me, from my experience, going through the steps is fancy and fun and all. It's going to help you out. You're going to see some things in inventory and be like, oh, damn. You know, it's going to be great. But there's nothing that comes even remotely close to witnessing another human being even have an opportunity to establish a relationship with themselves and their creator that, I don't know, dude, maybe it's just me, but I don't know, it can just change someone's entire life. Entire life. And it's not just that, it's the ripple effect. The same effect that would happen from the harm, I mean, it just multiplies from that kind of service. And to me, there's nothing that's touched that. I've had powerful experiences in step work and seek where religious people are right, make use of what they offer, meditation, therapy, all this cool stuff. I mean, I hope you do all of it. I hope everyone seeks whatever they got to do. But the only thing, the one thing that can't hold a candle to, taking time out of the day to sit down and be with someone, listen to them, care about them. And it's bizarre what happens, because it's, there's nothing that comes close to that. So I really am one of those people that believes that this whole, me doing all this stuff is for you. Is if it's, you know, that's the point. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just being able to watch and know that someone's entire life, their whole life changed. They can have life. If you set aside a few hours a week, hold a little bit of love for them, be patient, listen, and then guess what? Their kids' lives are changed, their family's lives, their coworkers' lives, you know, and it has nothing to do with you. And I can't see the power of God in my life all the time, y'all. You just heard me be dramatic about, oh my God, my problems. And they're painful. I'm not going to take away from that. But, I mean, it's sometimes when I'm really disconnected from the power of God in my life, I mean, I can sometimes only sit and reflect on like, holy crap, I saw this person come to me desperate and dying over and over. They didn't think they had a shot to get well. I didn't know if they had a shot to get well. It's like, I know. But by sitting around some time, holding a book in front of you, reading, caring, listening, holding someone's hand, I get to watch God do that. And if I can't be in touch with it, at least I can watch that. Because my experience really is I have the elements of a way of living which have answered all of my problems. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it's because I wake up to I ain't got any. And it's a bummer, because then guess what I got to do? I got to go with God again. Every time, you know. And every time I think I'm going to find some loophole or something and be like, look how painful this was, though. So to wrap it up, though, there's this, I don't know why, I like this part. My sponsor always points it out. It's this part in the family afterwards, because it's been a lot of my experience, it's a lot of what I talked about, but it says, it It says, we have indulged in a spiritual intoxication. Okay, I didn't realize how dramatic that sounded. Spiritual intoxication. Okay, if you're new, just like hang with me here. Big book can get a little out there. It says, like a gaunt protector belt drawn over the last ounce of food, our pick struck gold. Joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. So that's the deal. Everything, one thing about me that I'm really big on is shoulder to shoulder. Right, shoulder to shoulder, and anyone that's close to my life, I sponsor them all, they're going to know. I mean, I have nothing to hide. There's things I'm going to be embarrassed about and ashamed of, and you're probably going to know about it, because guess what? If I don't tell it to you, then it's going to get worse, you know? And big on transparency, and anything that I experience or learn or receive, I insist on giving away the entire product. Is that the only way I can experience a product, you know? That's what's weird. It's kind of like, oh, this is tight. Give it to you. Oh, it's even better. It's even better than it was when I had it. Because it's kind of like when you buy a brand new car, it's like super tight for like a week. You're like, dude, tell this new whip. You're like stunting on it. You know, it's like, oh, I got this new shit. And then you're done. You're done. What if you, you know, but think about it. If you gave it to someone else and they were like, son, you'd be thinking about that for a while. Remember that time I gave that to a car? You know, like, holy crap. You watch how that face light up. They were just blown away. We're like, think about a newcomer. They're like, wait, what? Like, I don't have to drink anymore. I can actually, like, be honest. And, like, I kind of, like, halfway centimeter slightly might care about myself today. I'm down with that. I'm all about you. Just, I mean, if you just kind of care, love yourself a little bit, I am just stoked. You know, so, again, there's a lot of stuff. If I can help anybody in any way, let me know. I'm grateful to be here in Alabama. I can definitely tell I'm in Alabama by all the trees, pretty scenery, and thank you again, and love y'all.